This program is brought to you by MyTech1 and by Entelix.
The content, information, and opinions expressed during the related show are those of the show personalities and guest alone, and not those of Vic Kanellis Media Group, its parent, affiliates, or stations. VCMG Live is not responsible for any content, information, or opinions expressed. User bears full responsibility for their reliance on such content, information, or opinions.
Good day and welcome to the South Florida Community Roundup. And the goal of our program is to provide community leaders here in South Florida a voice on how they are helping the community in a digital, hybrid, in-person world. We also want to educate the local community on how these community leaders and associated organizations are working with people in our area. We want to be the connective tissue with the South Florida industry to encourage collaboration, foster relationships, and improve fundraising and grant opportunities. We hope to create a more vibrant community so all businesses in South Florida can thrive. Thank you for joining us.
In today's digital world, security is everything. But who's protecting your business from cyber threats? At MyTech1, we specialize in cutting-edge cybersecurity and managed services that keep you safe, secure, and operational 24/7. Visit MyTech1, MyTechOne.com or call 1-844-MyTech1. That's 844-648-3241. Your trusted partner in cybersecurity.
Need reliable office solutions? DEX Imaging provides top-notch printers, copiers, and document management systems, along with cutting-edge software solutions to streamline your business workflows. Trust DEX Imaging for innovative technology and exceptional service. DEX Imaging, your partner in office productivity and your organization's profitability. For more information, call Tiffany Salas with DEX Imaging at 561-948-6363, extension 1339, or 954-643-0906.
Workplace violence is on the rise, and no industry is immune from it. Survival Response helps organizations prevent and prepare for unthinkable situations. Our program focuses on prevention as well as response, and we provide customized programs based on your unique situation. Visit us at www.survivalresponsellc.com for more information and to schedule a free consultation.
Do you have an aging parent who needs a helping hand? Look no further. Wisdom Senior Care is here to make life easier. From shopping trips to personal care, we got you covered. Whether it's companionship, Alzheimer's and dementia care, or just a little extra help, we're your trusted partner. At Wisdom Senior Care, we bring the joy back to daily life. Call us today at 954-779-5989 and let us take care of you and your loved ones. Because with us, you're family.
Good day and welcome to the South Florida Community Roundup. I'm your host, David N. Reese. And I'd like to thank you for giving time out of your busy schedule to listen to some of the top leaders right here in the South Florida community. Well, guests, as you know, this is the second week of the month, and that's the time I feature Andre Williams and Laura Klein, who are part of the Big Picture. So listen keenly as they take over for this particular program.
Good morning and welcome to our podcast, The Big Picture with Andre and Lauren. Thank you again for joining us this morning, every second Saturday at 7 a.m. And our podcast features conversations with community leaders from the business, cultural, educational, and government sectors. And we're so excited for our guest with us today, Annabella Murillo. I'm your co-host, Andre Williams. I'm a real estate attorney, Harvard educated. I have a full-service real estate law practice here in Florida. I represent clients of all ranges in the residential and commercial sphere throughout the state of Florida. I have a lot of relationships in the Northeast, do a lot of business in the tri-state area, and also have some international clients. My wonderful co-host, who is an absolute rock star, is also an attorney, Lauren Klein, who is co-founder of Flourish Law Group, a boutique law firm specializing in estate planning, elder law, and probate administration. She is an LLM in taxation from the University of Florida, Levin College of Law, and over 12 years of experience in trusts and estates and in tax planning, including over 5 years in big law with the U.S.'s largest private wealth services Legal Group. And she is also an adjunct professor at St. Thomas University School of Law. She's my professor, my friend, and my co-host, Lauren. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Andre. And so excited to talk to our wonderful, wonderful guest today.
Absolutely. So this podcast is sponsored by the Miami Gardens Chamber of Commerce. And let me tell you a little bit about the chamber. It has a unique business-to-consumer approach for its members, designed to help them grow their business and gain clients. We are a one-stop shop that offers digital marketing and IT support services at a highly discounted price to our members. Your membership also includes preparation of certifications, DBE, WBENC, SBA, HubZone, EDW, OSB, for women-owned and economically disadvantaged businesses, and support from experienced management and performance consultants for your business. I serve as president. We also have a women's business initiative. Lauren is very much involved, designed to open the doors of opportunity for women, people of color, and veterans who are interested in starting, strengthening, or expanding their business. I am absolutely delighted to introduce our guest this morning, Annabella Murilla, who is the managing partner of Private Wealth of the Americas, and she is based here in Miami. She has more than 20 years of experience in the international and domestic area. She focuses on developing and expanding the international market with U.S. connections and being a bridge between Latin America and the U.S. by offering a U.S. trust fiduciary service. She works with financial institutions and centers of influence to meet the cross-border needs of family and enterprise groups. Annabella, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited to be here with you.
And we're excited to have you. I'm sure our listeners are going to hear some wonderful insight about your work today. Annabella, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your personal background, where you grew up, and you know where your family is, and you know your immigration process to the United States.
Of course. So I was born and raised in Caracas, Venezuela. So I come from a very hardworking family. I grew up in Caracas. I went to school in Caracas. And when I graduated high school, I decided to go to law school. And I started my law school in Caracas, in the Catholic University, or the equivalent, what we would call here the Catholic University in Caracas. After graduating law school, I started working at Ernst & Young, which was very surprising for me because I was not like a tax lover during my, you know, law degree, the law years. So I decided to give myself an opportunity and learn more about taxes. So I joined Ernst & Young in Caracas, Venezuela, and I was doing mainly tax compliance on the legal side, but mainly, you know, working with clients that were at the moment investing in Venezuela, corporate clients, and helping them on their tax compliance matters and obligations in the country. My family, we're all from Venezuela. We were all, you know, born and raised there. I come from a big family. We're five siblings. And my brothers were born in the U.S. back in the 70s, where my dad was going to medical school. So he was trained here in the U.S. So we always had like a connection to this country, right? And then in 1999, my parents decided to move back to the United States separately, but they decided to come to the U.S. again. So my dad came to Miami in 1999, and my mom went straight to Washington, D.C. I stayed in Caracas because I was still going to law school, and I was still thinking that I was going to change my country. But I basically stay there going to law school and everything. But my entire family was here in the U.S. At the moment. So I decided to move to the U.S. in 2007. And the process basically was because my dad was an American green card holder at the moment. He was not a U.S. citizen, though. He was a green card holder at the moment. And he basically, you know, claimed for my green card while I was a minor. So he even did it before I even knew. Basically, I had no clue he was doing this process. And then he informed me like, hey, by the way, you're in a process and you're going to have a green card eventually. So during that process, he became a U.S. citizen, which actually helps, right? Because you change status from a green card holder to a U.S. citizen. And that's how my green card was issued. It was through the American embassy in Caracas back in the days. The embassy existed. Nowadays, we don't have that embassy. But it was a process where I had to go to an interview at the embassy. And they gave me a package. And I had to fly to the U.S. with that package and go straight into immigration here in Miami with the package and give the package to a specific officer. They guide me through and then sign a document that I was, you know, coming into the U.S. for the first time as a green card holder. And then I stayed here for a couple of months because I had to receive my green card, like the card per se, the physical card. And I also had to receive my social security number card. So I stayed here. I remember that was back in summer 2007. And I stayed here for probably a month and a half or two. I received my documents and then I went back to Venezuela to finish everything and wrap everything and just come back and move to the States.
Well, I'm so happy that that process worked out for you. And you understand with the new administration, how challenging that immigration policy is, process is now, I should say. So good for you. And so glad to hear that. So let's talk about your professional life. So you graduated from law school in Venezuela, and you moved to returned to the United States. So what led you to your current career?
Yes, I think it was a little bit of everything, a little bit of luck, a little bit of meeting or knowing the right people, a little bit of connections, and then referrals, right? Like a lot of people, when I moved here, they recommended me. So I had people in the industry that, for example, people from Ernst & Young and people, attorneys, that were referring me to companies here and saying, hey, I have a person coming from Venezuela. She has a law degree. She did a master in taxes or whatever. Like, she's looking for a job. And I ran into a company that at the moment, they were looking for someone that knew, you know, had a legal background and someone that could speak English and Spanish and that could understand the legal system in Latin American countries, basically Venezuela, Colombia, Peru, and all those countries, because that company specifically had a lot of clients in those countries. And that's how I got into this trust company, which was my first job here in this country. And it was basically because a lot of people referred me to that person that was interviewing me. And that's how I got into the trust world. Now, when I started working, I realized that it was so connected to what, you know, my legal world was, because you needed to have a legal logic. You needed to have tax knowledge, of course, but it was like very international. So I love it because I had to look to every little, you know, country in details, like, okay, what happens in Venezuela? What happens in Colombia? What happens in Peru? What happens in Mexico? So it was kind of learning the tax laws and legal systems in every country. And then just having this, you know, broad perspective and also mixing it with the U.S., right? So that's how I got into the world. And the fact that I had the legal background and I could speak English and Spanish was perfect at the moment, because that company had a lot of clients in Latin America and they needed someone in that specific position.
That's great. And our listeners are very different in their backgrounds. This podcast is broadcast over five counties throughout the state of Florida. So some of them may not be familiar with the demography here in South Florida, but it's a majority minority community. Now, there was a Cuban majority in years past, but, and I know you can speak to this, Annabella, we have South Americans who are rising in number. They make up a substantial portion of our community. Venezuelans, Colombians, and, you know, other parts of South America. So talk about that process and, you know, and your clientele and how you deal and interact with these folks and if there are cultural differences in the way they do business.
Yes, there's definitely cultural differences. I tend to think that we are very similar, like the Latin people, like Latinos, we're all similar, right? Like we think we're all similar, but there's differences, and those differences are specifically per country. And you see them. But the fact that I love to be in contact with those cultures, because it brings me back to where I'm from, to where I came from too. So for me, it's amazing to have contact with these clients and to help them, you know, and their families during this process of creating their estate planning. all their plans and everything to have their assets protected, right? So there's differences. I think you have to learn to respect and understand that everybody can be different. Culturally, some countries could be more male-driven or male-dominated, so some decisions will not be taken by women or by females in the family. So you have to learn to deal with that too, and also have the right conversations about it with the right people. And I think that, you know, every single country, even though we speak the same language in South America and Latin America, we are different. For some things, we're very much alike, for sure. But for others, we're completely different. So you need to learn about that, too. I like it. I enjoy it very much.
Well, I do speak fluent Spanish, although with a gringo accent. But I am a foodie, and I love different types of cuisine, Annabella and Lauren. But, I mean, the types of food from each country is so different. I mean,
it is.
You know, Platanos, plantains, that's the same for the most part. But there are so many variations of food. So I can imagine there's also variations around how they do business.
Yes, exactly like that. There's a lot of variations. Again, there's always something that, you know, basically we feel the same, or something that we feel we have them, you know, we have something in common for sure. We're very tropical. We can eat some like plantains and arepas. And, you know, in some countries, it may be a variety of things, but we feel there's something that connects us in a way, but we're still different.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about some of the economies in some of these countries. So because that impacts estate planning and obviously their investment in the United States. For example, I know Colombia, with their new regime, their economy is very unstable, and you know the dollar is very powerful there. But talk about from your perspective the economies of these different countries and how that impacts what you do.
Yeah, so I must say that the decision of the families coming to this country and invest are mainly driven because of economical and political stability in their home countries. Right? These are very hardworking families that had their businesses or founded their businesses years ago, even third generation businesses or second generation businesses. And it's all they have and it's all they know. So imagine going through a process where the government is putting you a lot of obstacles to keep doing what you do good or best, right? Or imagine a government that wants to take away your assets without paying you the rightful what it actually the value of that asset, right? So every single decision that these families take are very driven or even triggered by an economic situation or a political situation in their home countries, right? And they feel, because some of those countries are not, you know, foreign currency driven or with US dollars, not all of them. They feel that, of course, having their investments out of their home country in a country like the US would feel better and they would be more protected. So I think that every time a president speaks or some change happens in those countries, this is when the clients pick up the phone the most and call us and ask questions, right? They call their bankers, their financial advisors, their attorneys, and start asking questions like, hey, what do I do? Should I move this? Should I buy something? Should I invest? Like this, you know, their brains start like, oh my God, what should I do? I don't want to lose my business. I don't want to lose my savings. I don't want to lose my assets. So I would say that it affects a lot. And it would be like probably the primary, you know, factor to decide whether to do investments outside their home country or not. Because the political and economical changes affect them directly.
So how, and I don't want this to become a political discussion, but how do you think political changes in the United States affect them? Because we do have a new president who has started his Make America Great campaign, and he has a certain foreign policy perspective too.
Yes, I think it's going to be difficult to know what's going to happen. But I also think that the U.S. has always been a hub for foreign investments. And in a way, the U.S. needs that foreign investment, right? And foreign investment, meaning people coming from out of this country and investing in this country in U.S. currency. So that is something that we've seen forever. This is not new. This is, you know, not part of this let's say 50 years, it's more than that, you know, from other countries came all the way 100 years ago and started investing in this country. And that's exactly how this country was formed too. So I think there's a lot of important things to consider. And I don't think that, I mean, hopefully things will not change that fast. I think that we would have an evolution and a process where we will be seeing things changing. But I still think that the U.S. would be always trying to welcome foreign investment in that way, and they need it. So the markets also run on that, right? So I think hopefully it's not going to go the other side or crazy, but I mean, I hope those decisions will not affect directly all those foreign investments that are coming in.
Well, I want to hear from Lauren, and she's an estate planning attorney at a very high level, and honestly, could probably do some good work for some of your clients, but I know she has some questions as well. Lauren.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andre. And Annabelle and I had the best conversation last week. So many similarities, you know, in our background and the way that we serve our clients. So I have just been sitting here enjoying this conversation, and just this is right up my alley. So really, really great information. I'm sure the listeners are really taking in a lot. The things that I've kind of been thinking about, you know, as we're sitting here and we're chatting about, you know, the changes or potential changes in immigration policy, the, you know, the instability in other countries and the incredible economic growth and boom that we've seen in South Florida, all kind of melding together, right? All of those factors. Taking all of that into account, Annabella, what do you think are the biggest growth opportunities, you know, here in the United States and South Florida, you know, really specifically over the next 5 years? And how are you and, you know, your team really preparing for those opportunities?
Yes, I mean, I love it because Miami right now, like the city where we live, where we, you know, walk around, it's a very hot hub, right? We know that. And I think it's been a hot hub for a while, specifically for Latin Americans, but now it's like a hot hub for everyone in the, you know, in the world. So everyone's coming from around the world to basically move or invest in the city. So growth opportunities, endless, because everything has to be done in a way and differently too, right? This is a very recent city, I would call it in a way. And that is something that I like about living here, because this is not a city that was founded 300 or 400 years ago, as opposed to any other cities up in the north, for example, which everything is already there. Everything's already settled. They have everything and it's, you know, it works perfect. But here, no, we have to exactly create everything new. We would probably need to create a new transportation system. We're always working on new highways. You know that, right? Because every time you drive here in Miami, there's something happening in a highway. There's always something happening in a highway.
Oh, yeah.
Doing construction, they're remodeling, they're changing, they're painting, whatever it is, right? Also the schools, there's a lot of growth opportunities for education in Miami. I mean, you have to prepare for the people coming. There's a lot of stories in South Miami with those important schools that, you know, people coming from the Northeast trying to put their kids in school and there's not enough room. So there's growth opportunities under the education as well. And also for colleges and universities. And I think you should, I'm pretty sure you see that as a professor, right? So I think Miami, specifically South Florida, like you said, I mean, we have endless, you know, opportunities right now just by being here and getting to be exposed to this. I think a way to be prepared for this is basically to educate yourself always on everything. Like you need to know exactly what's happening. You need to know exactly who's coming. You need to know who's buying, where, why, how, like what's missing, like what's, you know, you need to be very aware of what's happening around you in order to understand, like, how do you want to react, right? And then be proactive, you know, not reactive, just be proactive. Go out there, meet people, get to know what's happening in your community to understand those growth opportunities.
Yeah, that was incredible. So much good information right there in that few minutes. I'd like to shift it a little bit more to personal. Anytime that I'm around, you know, a high powered woman who is just completely killing it in her career, I always like to ask, how do you stay motivated? How do you stay productive? How does Annabella continue on day after day with, we have similar client base. I know how challenging it can be and exciting, but what keeps you motivated?
It is challenging. And I must say that I don't think we're always motivated, but we try, right? Mm-hmm. I think we need to have a lot of discipline, honestly. because motivation comes and goes, right? And one day you'll be, you know, probably less motivated. Other days you'll be highly motivated, but it's easy to lose that motivation along the way because there's a lot of little things that can affect and annoy us, and we're going to be derailing from our targets or our goal, right? So, for example, what I like and something that I enjoy, which is probably crazy for those out there listening to us, is that I like to work with deadlines. I know people hate deadlines because they ask like, okay, for when is this, you know, job or work? Like, when do I have to give it away? I'm like, I love it because I know exactly what I have to do. I know when, I know how, and I prepare myself for that, right? And that is something that I always do. And that keeps me motivated because I know I have a deadline on my professional life, right? And I know that it has to be done by the end of week. But I think that motivation it comes and go. I think that for me, it's more a balancing my life, right? Trying to understand that there's going to be good and bad days and it's okay. It's basically learning to recharge yourself when you not when you're in low bat, but before. Just try not to get to low bat and then recharge. Recharge yourself before you reach that low, right? Like try to make sure you decompress. Try to make sure you do things that make you happy, that you enjoy, and not do them afterwards because you're completely burnt out, right? Just do them before, because when you're burnt out, you're burnt out. I mean, there's nothing else you can do. I do meditate a lot. I started meditating years ago and I love to do my morning rituals, sunrise meditation in Miami Beach. And I really enjoy that. And I also do it before falling asleep. I like to do breathing exercises as well. I think that helps a lot to control your emotions and, you know, try to control. And there's things you can't control and that's okay. You just need to learn to let it go and eventually something will happen. And something that I've learned a lot specifically in the past years have been to set up boundaries on my professional and personal life, which is something that it's not easy. And it's something that it's not going to be natural for us, at least not for me. But I try to, because I realize that not setting boundaries in your life, it actually is worst for you.
Balance is so, so important, Annabella. And we're coming to a close. And Lauren, thank you for your insightful questions. But Annabella, why don't you share with our listeners your contact information, how they can reach you, your telephone number, email address, website,
and social media. Of course, of course. Of course. So my cell phone number is 786-343-4417. I always pick up the phone. I'm always available. So shoot me a text or call me. I'll be happy to connect. I'm also on LinkedIn, so you can just look for me under Annabella, A-N-A-B-E-L-L-A, Murillo, M-U-R-I-L-L-O. For my Latinos listening to me, I know it's Murillo, but we have to say Murillo. And then I also have an Instagram account. It's A Murillo. And an email could be my name, Annabella, A-N-A-B-E-L-L-A dot Murillo. At IQEQ.
Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing that information. And Annabella, thank you for joining us. Another podcast in the books, Big Picture with Andre and Lauren. Again, every Saturday, every second Saturday, I should say, at 7 a.m. So we look forward to hearing from you. Or again, Annabella, maybe on a future show, we could talk about a different subject matter. And we invite our listeners to join us every second Saturday at 7 a.m. Thanks so much, Annabella.
Thank you.
Thanks, Annabella. This was awesome.
This podcast was powered by Dex Imaging.
If you would like to sponsor the show or be a guest on the show, please contact me, David N. Reese, and the number is 954-658-2196. Once again, 954-658-2196. Or feel free to email me at David N. Reese, that's spelled DavidNReece at email.com. See you next time.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.